Hi, hello. It is Josh Bowe of Pod Maverick. This is Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm also one of the editors over at MavsMoneyball.com that I run with my he's the managing editor, Kirk Henderson. Also, my co-host, Kirk Henderson, obviously not on the podcast tonight. If you guys follow him, you know, I wouldn't have really said anything to start the show. But considering he posted it on social media, I feel like it's probably just okay to mention it right at the top before we get into the show. He's not on the show tonight. His father passed away the other day after a battle with cancer. Obviously, Kirk will not be on the show tonight. Not sure if he's going to be on the show tomorrow. The staff at Mavs Moneyball and, you know, myself as part of Pod Maverick, we have encouraged him to take as much time as he needs, as much time as he needs to be away. Cause he definitely has earned that, much at least. So if you guys have been wondering, he's been dealing with this basically since the beginning of February, right around the Luka trade. So if you guys have been wondering, like, why has Kirk missed shows? Because normally Kirk is the Iron Man. So that's kind of why. Like, he has been, every time you've seen Kirk do a show from beginning of February to now, he has been doing that, knowing, you know, what's been going on with his personal life and knowing he was at any moment about to lose his father. So I hope you guys can, I know obviously we have a great fan base, and you guys will be as supportive as always, but for anyone, you know, listening that doesn't necessarily like the show, obviously you don't have to like the show now because something sad happened to us, but I just hope you go, you know, you just understand that Kirk really puts his heart and soul into doing this show and running the site. He treats it like a real job at times, because that's kind of how hard he works, and he uses it a little bit as an escapism, but that's how much he cares about the community that he's helped foster at Mavs Moneyball and our podcast, Pod Maverick. He really likes talking to you guys. Like, he wouldn't do this if he didn't still like doing it. So we're tremendously sad for him, and we're hoping, you know, he can get back to himself and take as much time as he needs to get to that point. And we will wish him and his family the best, and they will be in our thoughts. And I just wanted to knock that out before we got into the rest of the show. As for the game, the Mavericks win 120-101. They dominate the awful, awful Brooklyn Nets, who are 23-49. And I am honestly shocked that they have 23 wins in the first place. I think they got most of those wins in the first 2 months of the season where they were still a little bit plucky. The roster they played tonight is legitimately one of the worst NBA rosters I've seen in a long time. I think they have two NBA players on the roster. I mean, I'm honest, when I look at the rest of their team, I don't know if anyone else besides Cam Johnson and Nick Claxton will be on an NBA team in 3 to 4 years. Maybe, you know, end of the bench. But, like, I don't know if anyone else on this team will be a rotation player in 3 to 4 years. Now, they are playing some younger guys. Noah Clowney was a former first-round pick. Zaire Williams was a former first-round pick that kind of fizzled out with the Memphis Grizzlies. So, you know, maybe they got some talent that might shake out a little bit. But this was a dreadful team that the Mavericks played. And I know the Mavericks aren't in a good place. They're under 500 as well. But this was a game the Mavericks had to take care of business. And, of course, I'm burying the lead. Anthony Davis is back. His first game since February 8th with an abductor strain. Initially was reported that he would miss about a month. So it's been almost well over a month, verging into almost 2 months. A lot of reporting over the last few weeks, especially when Kyrie Irving went down, if he was going to return this season, because, I mean, this is pretty much a lost season for the Mavericks, even if they managed to kind of claw back into the play-in race. Entering tonight, they were tied with the Phoenix Suns, and the Phoenix Suns hold the tiebreaker. Phoenix plays Milwaukee, so they will probably lose that game. And the Mavericks will have pretty much a game lead on the Suns if the Suns end up losing later tonight. That's a West Coast game. The Mavericks, like it or not, you know, if this was a relatively normal season, they probably wouldn't be close to the play-in. But since the West is kind of a mixed bag this season, they're going to be in the play-in. So Davis is coming back. And also, like, he kind of had to come back. Like, the Mavericks need bodies. Kessel Edwards was inactive again because he was running up on the limit of his two-way deal. Kai Jones is going to run up on the limit of his two-way deal. So is Brandon Williams. They still have plenty of injuries with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively and Dante Exum and Olivier Maxence Prosper and, of course, Kyrie Irving. So, like it or not, he kind of probably had to come back on the floor. And you can't blame AD. I think he has a lot he wants to prove after this trade. I mean, his name has been kind of run through the ringer. Not really his fault, but when you get traded for Luka Doncic and the Mavericks kind of fall apart while the Lakers rise up in the standings, he has kind of unfairly maybe slammed. He is a very good player, and I think there's been a perception that he's not, like, almost like he's kind of a bum. And yeah, he is not as good as Luka Doncic, and yes, he does have an extensive injury history, and yes, it doesn't change all of the factors about the trade, what made it so bad. But when he's healthy and he's right, he's still an excellent all-NBA level player, and I think a little bit of that got lost in the weeds over the last month or so with him being hurt. Of course, he needs to be available. I think he very much hears that. From what I've heard from Lakers people that covered him a lot, he's very much glued into media narratives and stuff like that. So he hears the noise about him not being available and, you know, being day to day, that being kind of his nickname. So he wanted to get back out there. And I don't know what to say other than he didn't seem to re-aggravate the injury any further. And the Mavericks won. Past that, I don't know how you can give any credible evaluation of Anthony Davis tonight, other than he was moving at maybe 50% speed. I mean, he looked like he was going through an all-star practice today. I don't think he sprinted once. He mainly half-jogged from three-point line to three-point line. And even doing all that, he played 27 minutes and had 12.6 rebounds, 3 assists, and still block because he's just that talented. But in terms of exerting anything, he very much went through this game trying not to exert anything. I mean, like, he played it very safe. And this is not a critique of Anthony Davis, because I wouldn't blame him. First game in over a month with an injury that can linger and be re-aggravated. And let's be real, from what I've read, he kind of has a similar injury to what Damian Lillard had when he was in Portland. And that was an off and on injury until Lillard got surgery. So, you know, there's a chance he will, from what I've read and listened to experts, this probably doesn't go away until he gets surgery. Maybe he does that in the off season. So knowing all that, it makes total sense that he would move at half speed for a game against a team that's awful and doesn't need Anthony Davis to be 100% to beat them. So, but the only thing is how much of that was by choice and just being precautious, or how much of that is he just not, can he do it? Is he all the way there? Can he shift up to another gear? We don't really know. And again, don't expect him to do that in his first game back. Don't expect him to do that in his first game back against one of the worst rosters in the NBA. There's no reason to it. He's got to pace himself. He needs to ease himself into it. But that will be the question that everyone should be asking and trying to answer over the next week or so, is this being more precautious, or is he still pretty physically limited that he can't do all the things that he needs to be able to do to be the Anthony Davis that everyone knows he is? So that's the question mark. And it's hard to answer that after a game like tonight. It's hard to say anything other than he got through the game without, you know, re-aggravating the injury, and the Mavericks won. Like, that's kind of the two check boxes you have to have tonight for a game like this. And he cleared them. Obviously, you know, you would love to see him running up and down, throwing down alley-oops and doing all this stuff, but he's coming back from a very, very, very delicate injury, so to speak, that could flare up at him at any time. But we have to be honest with ourselves. He was barely moving. Like, you know, he was jogging from three-point line to three-point line. So we can't say he's back, but we can say, you know, all the way back, but he at least got through this game. And was at least productive in his minutes. He was a plus 12 in his 27 minutes, didn't hold the Mavericks back. Hilariously, the Brooklyn Nets doubled him at every single possession he touched the ball for the most part. And I was dying. I was wanting the Nets to just let him work one-on-one once or twice just to see what he would do, because he was very much okay with being double-teamed and passing it out, because it didn't look like he wanted to do much because he's, you know, coming back from a very serious, delicate injury. I don't know why Brooklyn didn't test him and be like, okay, yeah, try to do something. Like, score on us. If you want to go one-on-one, let's see what you got. And they didn't do that. They doubled him instantly. And I mean, they were doubling him away from the paint, like near the 3-point line, sometimes near the elbow, near the nail. It was kind of funny. Like they wouldn't let him. And I get it. If Anthony Davis was 100%, because you look at the rest of the Mavericks roster, you know, Kai Jones, Spencer Dinwiddie, PJ Washington, Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall, Dwight Powell, Brandon Williams, Max Christie, Jaden Hardy. That's who played tonight. Of course, you're going to want to double Anthony Davis if all things are equal. So, but I don't think things were equal. I just would have loved for like three possessions to see the Nets just guard him 1-on-1 and see what Davis would have done, because I don't think Davis was particularly interested in drawing a lot of contact or exerting, you know, any more effort than he needed to, and then to just get through the game. So not much else to say there, other than I was the one other thing. So the other thing about this, it's not just Anthony Davis returning, but what does that mean for the Mavericks, who had kind of rebuilt themselves over the last month, kind of embracing the small ball identity without any centers. And the thing I want to point out is it didn't necessarily work. The Mavericks were very bad while Anthony Davis was out. They've lost a ton of games. Their net rating is stinky. But the thing that's interesting is their offense has been near league average. That's with no Anthony Davis, no Lively, no Gafford, no Kyrie Irving. They traded Luka away. And then they traded Quentin Grimes away, and his replacement has basically not played or been a factor at all in this season, even when he has played in the handful of games he's played. All that, and they're still near league average offensively in this last month, is wildly impressive. And I know March basketball and February basketball post All-Star break is floozy, to say the least. But it is remarkable that this team is still scoring. They scored 120 points again. Obviously, Davis is back, but again, Davis wasn't 100%. This wasn't the Anthony Davis that we expect. They have been over 115 points now 7 times in their last 10 games. They've been over 120 points in 4 straight games. Like, look at this lineup. Over 120 points, 4 straight games. It's kind of crazy. They've embraced small ball. They're spacing the floor, and they're driving. They are attacking the rim with ferocity. Mavericks had 64 points in the paint again tonight. The Nets, again, very stinky, but they do have Nick Claxton, who's a pretty good defender as a center. And obviously he didn't have a great game, but the Mavericks treated him like he was a G Leaguer. I mean, like, they treated him. They had no fear of Nick Claxton tonight, and they went to the rim like they've been doing since these injuries. They just go to the rim. They space it out with a small ball, and all of their drivers are just like Dinwiddie, Najee, PJ, Brandon Williams, even Jaden Hardy a little bit, Max Christie a little bit. These guys have probably the paint is more open for them than they've been all, like, especially for like Najee and PJ. The paint is this is the most the paint's been open since Luka's been traded. And they're just spreading out. In that first game against Houston with Anthony Davis, they tried to play with two centers. And it worked, but it was different. You know, the driving lanes weren't there, and things got a little mucked up in that third quarter before Davis got hurt. And then Davis got hurt, and they played with one big and spread the floor out again, and things looked okay. So I've been wondering, what's that going to look like? Because obviously it's not something that you sacrifice. Like, you know, they didn't win, and their defense was terrible. Like, obviously they can't play without a center, especially when Davis is back, and they're going to get Lively back, and maybe they'll get Gafford back. So, like, it's not like they needed to sacrifice the team, what they were doing, to continue doing the small ball stuff just because the offense was better than expected, because the defense was horrible. It was the pits. But I've been wondering, what's it going to look like? How are they going to balance? Okay, now they're bringing Davis back. The bigs are coming back. How are they still going to maintain that near league average offense with a defense that hopefully gets a bump as well, because that's kind of where they need to be. Because, you know, with Davis, Gafford, and Lively, or at least with Davis and Lively back, their defense has a chance to at least be pretty competitive. But what's that going to do to the offense when you're playing two bigs? And I was wondering, is Anthony Davis going to start at center tonight? Answer is no. And of course, I shouldn't have thought he was, because with his minutes restriction, with the fact that he just was not going to play center with the way he was moving. I mean, he was guarding at the 3-point line and just kind of standing around. He was not going to play center. He was standing in the corner for a lot of possessions. You don't want him playing center doing that. So they started Kai Jones with him. So he played with a big pretty much every one of his minutes. He was either playing with Kai Jones or he was playing with Dwight Powell. So what's that going to look like? And it looked pretty good because Kai Jones was awesome. 13 points and 9 rebounds. He's been double figure scoring every game as a Maverick. This is his fourth game. he fed off. He got a lot of looks off the attention that Davis was getting from his double teams. And that's just something to watch. It's hard to evaluate. Again, this game felt like a scrimmage. Like, it's really hard to evaluate process other than just accepting the results. But I'll be very curious to see going forward as Davis ramps up and starts looking more like himself and exerting more effort. What do the driving lanes look like for a team that was driving the ball really well while he was out? And tonight, no ill effects. Brandon Williams was great in the paint. Najee Marshall was awesome again, driving and scoring in his floater range. Spencer Dinwiddie was very good as well. 16 points, 12 assists for Dinwiddie. Just does not turn the ball over, Dinwiddie. Only had one turnover. He's been low-key. That has been crucial to their offense being acceptable, is that Dinwiddie has been okay being the sole point guard on the team. Special shout-out to Najee Marshall, though. He is having a march to remember. He's now about 21 points per game, 8 rebounds, 4.3 assists, shooting 51% from the field. It's insane. His three-point shot has gone bye-bye. But once again, he is so good at the paint outside of the restricted area shots, those floater range shots. Let's see what he was tonight. He was 3 of 4 in the paint outside the restricted area. He was 4 of 7 in the restricted area, so that's pretty funny. The Mavericks themselves were 19 of 26 in the restricted area, 13 of 21 in that floater range. Again, 61.9%, so 62% in the floater range. League average is 44.2. It has been a deadly weapon. Between Dinwiddie and Najee, it has been insane. And with Davis back, who's also pretty good in that area, their offense might be pretty good. I mean, I keep waiting for the balloon to fall out, and they haven't played a lot of good teams lately, so let's see them play some good teams. Maybe that pops the air out of the balloon, but we'll see. But that's going to be the thing to watch going forward, is how their offense looks. Does their defense get better? And we'll see. We'll go from there. The bench was okay. Najee was great. Brandon Williams was great again. Jaden Hardy and Max Christie were okay. Christie got to double figures in scoring, 10 points, but did it inefficiently on 3 of 9 shooting. Again, Brooklyn was terrible. They had no one that played particularly well. Nick Claxton was okay scoring the ball. Cam Johnson couldn't hit any threes. So, yeah, I mean, Mission 6, this was successful. The biggest Mavericks win. I mean, they have not won a game by double digits since... They have not won a game by double digits since that Rockets game on February 8th where Anthony Davis got hurt. They have not won a game by 15 or more since January 27th against the Washington Wizards. So back before Luka was even traded, but obviously he was still hurt. So it's been a while since they've had a win like this. They just need wins. It's their back-to-back wins. It's the first time they've had back-to-back wins since February 13th and February 21st against Miami and New Orleans. And their schedule is baby soft, guys. They play New York tomorrow. That's probably going to be a loss. Davis isn't going to play. But after that, Orlando, Chicago, Brooklyn again, Atlanta, the Clippers twice, and then the Lakers, which is tough, 3 games in a row. But then Toronto and then Memphis, who might not be playing for much. I don't know. But Memphis is a little bit of a weird team. I mean, they've got... I want to say Orlando, Chicago, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Toronto. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 games that I think that they should win. They should win. I know people are going to scoff at the Orlando part, but I think Orlando stinks. I think Orlando is fraudulent. I hate their team. I hate their roster. I don't think teams that can score are not good. I don't care how good their defense is. The NBA is about scoring now. I'm sorry. Defense still matters, but... if you have an offense as horrific as Orlando's, it's really hard to win games. And they're not playing very well right now. So if they get 5, if they win all 5 of those games and they lose the rest of them, and you know, that's, you know, maybe they lose a couple they should win, maybe they win a couple they shouldn't. I mean, that puts them, I'm trying to do some standings math. I mean, that puts them at 40 wins. So that puts them at 40 and 42. I don't think the Phoenix Suns are getting to 40 wins, because have you seen their schedule? Kirk's talked about it. It's nuts. They're playing Milwaukee tonight. It's insane. Milwaukee, Boston, Minnesota. Here's the rest of their schedule. Milwaukee, Boston, Minnesota, Houston, Milwaukee, Boston, New York, Golden State, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Sacramento. One team outside of the play-in. One team in the play-in, Sacramento. that's outside of the regular play-in. I think Minnesota's in the top eight. Everyone else they're playing is in the top eight, and then Milwaukee, I mean, some of these teams are playing in the top four. I don't see – I see one more win on the Suns' schedule. Maybe they get two. So, what, 36 wins, and the Mavericks are 35? So the Mavericks need to get to 37 wins? The Mavericks need two more wins, I think, to clinch. I mean, not officially, because, you know, we're not going to know till it's actually official. But if the Mavericks get to 37 wins, I think that they will make the playoffs or make the play-in. So that's where we're at. I don't think the Phoenix Suns are winning three more games for the rest of the season. Again, Milwaukee, Boston, Minnesota, Houston, Milwaukee, Boston, New York, Golden State, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Sacramento. They might get lucky. You know, Oklahoma City resting guys, maybe Sacramento's resting if their play-in position is secure. Maybe Boston is resting a little bit, but man, I mean, even then, the Suns are a mess. I don't know. So I think I think 37 wins is the magic number for the Mavericks, and they just need two more. And they will most certainly get that. So I'm going to hightail it. 21 minutes. I hit my goal by myself. Again, Mavericks win 120-101 to the Brooklyn Nets. Check out MazMoneyBall.com for more post-game coverage. I will be back tomorrow against the New York Knicks. I think Kirk has made some hints that he might be around. I would love for him to take the night off again, but I'm not going to tell him what to do, whatever feels right for him. But again, keep Kirk in your thoughts for us, please. After he's had a rough month, guys. I don't know how else to say from that. So for me, this is Josh Bowe of Pod Maverick After Dark and MazMoneyBall.com. Check the site for more. Subscribe. Do what you got to do to pump up our show. Leave reviews, comment, like it, whatever you got to do. And we appreciate you guys sticking around despite the fact that this has been a season from hell. So seems to be getting better. Anthony Davis is back. So at least there's more interesting things to talk about. So that's pretty good. So again, Josh Bowe signing off. You guys take care. See ya.